Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, Gardaí are continuing to appeal for information in relation to missing 26-year-old Cian Langelin, who has been missing since Friday last. Meanwhile, there have been confirmed sightings in Letterkenny of missing dairyman Aidan Baldrick. The Mica Action Group says while a significant milestone has been reached in a redress scheme being announced by government yesterday, there is still work to do in order to keep pressure on the government to ensure the delivery of the scheme to all affected homeowners. And 74 complaints made against Gardaí to GSOC last year came from Donegal. Those stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport with Oisin Kelly coming up at about 5:15. But first in news, Gardaí are continuing to appeal for information in relation to missing 26-year-old Cian Langelin. They say they are becoming increasingly concerned for his welfare. Cian was last seen on Friday last, May the 10th, leaving his residence in the town carrying a backpack. He is described as having a thin build, is approximately 5 foot 8 inches in height and has sandy coloured hair. Garda Gráinne Doherty says any piece of information, no matter how small, is vital in assisting Gardaí.
The last confirmed sighting we have of him was on the 10th of this month between 6 and 7pm leaving his home at Glendale Manor. He had a backpack on him on that date. Now, I have no description of the clothing that he was wearing other than that he was wearing a backpack. He's described as being about 5 foot 8, thin build, with short sandy hair. He cut his hair recently, I believe, very short. He usually would be quite unshaven with a rough sort of slight beard. You know, if he has been in touch with anybody, we're appealing, of course, for his current whereabouts, but it's so important, Greg, if he has been in touch with anyone, any of his friends in the Letterkenny or Falkara or anywhere, you know, that they let us know. Even he just sent them a message, or, you know, they're not sure of his whereabouts, but even he made any sort of contact since the 10th of May, you know, obviously, you know, as you can imagine, his family are very concerned at this stage. You have to consider all options, and if Cian is listening, I would appeal to him to get in touch with us, you know, to put his family's minds at ease.
Meanwhile, the sister of missing dairyman Aidan Baldrick has issued an emotional plea for information regarding his whereabouts. It comes as there have been confirmed sightings in Letterkenny of the missing 33-year-old. He was last seen getting out of a taxi at the station roundabout in the town yesterday and is also believed to have checked out of McGettigan's hotel on Saturday morning last. Aidan is described as being approximately 5 foot 8 inches in height and of a medium build and had been wearing blue jeans, a dark navy jacket and brown loafers. His sister, Lisa Quinn, says they just want Aidan home.
The last sighting we had yesterday was him getting out of a taxi at the roundabout near Sister Sarah's. We have a photograph of him in the taxi, and that was Friday. And then we recently got information that he checked into McGettigan's hotel for the night. And then the last time anybody seen him was him checking out on the Saturday morning.
So there's a very strong possibility he still could be in and around the Letterkenny area.
Yeah, we believe so. We're down every day. There's a good few of us down with, you know, flyers and stuff, you know, just on the lookout for him. But we've checked other hotels and, you know, nobody seems to have seen anything.
Very important that the likes of shops, anyone really, who is in and around the town today, to keep an eye out for him.
Yeah, we'd be really, really grateful. We understand that we have put out photographs and he will be a lot rougher looking now. You know, it's been 5 days, so his beard will be a lot, you know, more grown and stuff like that there, and he hasn't any change of clothes or anything with him, so he might look, you know, a lot worse than he does in the photographs, and we hope everybody would kind of keep that in mind as well.
And obviously, if Aidan is listening himself today, I'm sure you're appealing to him directly to get in touch with yourselves.
I just want Aidan to know that he's so loved. He's so, so loved, and we really just want him home with us. We want him safe. We want him home.
24 protected disclosures by staff or members of the Gardaí were made to GSOC last year, and over 400 criminal investigations were opened. The Garda Watchdog's annual report shows almost 2,000 complaints detailing almost 3,000 allegations were made against officers, a slight drop on the previous year's figures. In Donegal, 74 complaints were made against Gardaí to GSOC. Trish Lafferty reports.
Of 1,921 complaints received against Gardaí last year, most related to abuse of authority, neglect of duty, discourtesy and allegations of assault, harassment or false imprisonment. 74 sanctions were imposed on individual members of the force, while 415 criminal investigations were opened. Gardaí received 15 referrals where the alleged conduct of an officer resulted in a fatality, and 17 public interest investigations were opened by GSOC. The DPP directed that 4 cases be prosecuted, while another 4 were awaiting a decision at the end of last year.
The MICA Action Group says while a significant milestone has been reached in a redress scheme being announced by government yesterday, there is still work to do in order to keep pressure on the government to ensure the delivery of the scheme to all affected homeowners. Under the scheme, homeowners will have to cover the cost of 10% of the repairs, while the remainder will be funded by government. €20 million has been pledged for the scheme this year and a commitment given to concentrate on worst affected homes first. Eileen Doherty of the MICA Action Group says while there was initial disappointment in homeowners having to cover 10% of the cost of repairs, the only alternative, she says, is going back to the drawing board, which would result in further delay.
Well, the MICA Action Group has, there's a dilemma. You know, you either accept that there's a contribution of 10%, or the alternative is that we go back to the drawing board, that we go back to seek a change in legislation, as is the case as it was Pyrite. Now, Pyrite took 7 years to get through. They changed legislation. We haven't, absolutely, we didn't poll the members, but we have had quite a bit of feedback. People have been in contact with us to give us their views. I think everybody was initially very disappointed at the potential of a 90%, a 90-10 split. But I think more recently, a lot of homeowners that have been coming to us have said, we just want to get on with our lives. We want to just get our homes fixed, and we can't afford to wait around any longer. And truthfully, Greg, I honestly feel as if we go down the legislation change route, I think we jeopardise any scheme. So if somebody had said to me 5 years ago that we would get 90% of our homes funded in terms of getting it fixed, I think I'd have been happy with that.
Meanwhile, Colette, a homeowner affected by MICA since the 1980s, says that to expect homeowners to pay 10% is totally unacceptable.
I totally reject the government's offer, and as I'm sure all the members of the MICA Action Group, the members that have houses, rejected also. Why should we have to pay any money when they let Dublin off with it? And they brought out a white paper after the Pyrite in Dublin, and they said if it ever happens in the country again, that they'll immediately have a redress scheme for it. Now, the thing about it is, we have both Pyrite and MICA in the same houses. If it's on the floor, it's Pyrite. If it's inside the walls, it's Pyrite. If it's on the outside, it's MICA. I just feel that the government's discriminating against rural Ireland again. The people of Donegal, like, you know, our houses are falling down around us, yet people in Dublin get what they want. You know, they have 42 TDs in Dublin. We've got 6 up here. We don't have any voice. Our TDs aren't strong enough to fight our corner.
Donald Trump is to visit Ireland in June, according to a number of senior sources. The US president will spend a number of days in County Clare after his state trip to the UK. Our political correspondent Sean Defoe has the details.
Government officials are preparing for the US president to visit Ireland between the 5th and the 8th of June. Donald Trump will arrive after a 3-day visit to the UK to mark the 75th anniversary of the D-Day landings. Sources said the US president will visit his Doonbeg resort in County Clare on June 5th before going to France on the 6th for more commemorations and then returning to Ireland. He's expected to meet Taoiseach Leo Varadkar during the visit, with staff from the Taoiseach's office checking out security and logistical issues at sites in County Clare this week. Sources also said US officials have started booking accommodation in Clare and Limerick for the trip. A government spokesman said there'd been no official confirmation from the US side of the visit, but US sources said it's been given the green light and will likely be confirmed in the next week. President Trump cancelled a previously planned visit to Ireland last year, and officials are wary of making an announcement too soon should the same thing happen again. Protests had been organised for last year's planned visits, and calls to cancel the trip are likely to be repeated. Sean Defoe, Leinster House.
The campaign for a clean estuary in North Innishowen is rejecting Irish Water's claim that its plan for a Moville wastewater scheme will stop ongoing pollution on local beaches and ensure compliance with EU regulations. The campaign spokesperson Enda Craig says in particular Irish Water's claim that they have dispelled the myth that discharges from the new treatment plant would pollute the coastline is very wide off the mark. He says returning with the same plan again and again in the hope that it will eventually be accepted locally is a tactic which simply will not work.
The precautionary principle is, if it might happen, take the precaution, don't go there. Get out if the danger is there. And it is patently there. We have proven it 100 times that it is not the place for it. They're doggedly sticking in. And as a recent politician said, you know, repeating the same thing over and over again, hoping you're going to get a different result, is actually the definition of insanity. We are meeting these guys on the 17th of June. We're just hoping that they will have seen the error of their ways, that they will see that this is going nowhere, and that they do the sensible thing and do what they should have done all these years ago and what we wanted them to do all the years ago. It's not us that's holding up the plant. It's madness.
Donegal County Council is considering a 50 km per hour speed limit in the vicinity of Termin National School. The issue was raised today by Councillor John O'Donnell, who told Letterkenny Municipal District that speeding is a major issue in the vicinity of the school. He says the fact that the school is not visible from the road adds to the problem, and he believes the council needs to act.
I think that particular section of the road there, you have the Creaving, which is a community complex with a kids' creche. You have the local school there, and you also have the Nina just around the corner as well, and the old school in Termin. It's a very dangerous stretch of the road. It leads into a very sharp bend as well. There's a lot of people that's there at school times, and also people, it's a busy junction. So I'm just calling the council to maybe look at the speed limit there and try and get it redressed to bring it down to 50 kilometres an hour to try and prevent a serious accident happening there in the future.
Also, given the fact too that road, it's not a national road, but it is a road that leads to the back of Argyll. It's the road that leads to Glenveagh. It's the road that brings people to Gwyddor. It's a hugely important road for tourists as well, and very often, particularly maybe in the good weather, the people on the road don't know there's a school there. They don't know the road very well.
That's 100% right, Donal. Yeah, I think that, you know, the locals are fully aware of it, but people that are not aware of the proximity and knowing what's there hidden as well as the school, because it's on off the road and the Creaving, but there's a lot of people, large volume of traffic attend it. There's children there, and I'm just calling on the council to act on it as a matter of urgency, because it's been brought to me on numerous occasions. I've mentioned it outside of council here today, different engineers, and I just feel that it's not been listened to, and that's why I had to bring this motion here to the council today to get it tabled, and hopefully something will be done sooner rather than later, because as I said earlier, the dangerous corner on the far side of this particular section of road as well, there is an entrance adjacent to that, and the homeowners there are at their wits' end of case a car comes around the corner and possibly cut them in two at any time of the day.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure in Letterkenny, with the new Adidas Messi range now available, including jerseys, jackets, bottoms and boots. See in-store or online at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's 13 minutes past five and time's the latest in sport with Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Michaela. We start with soccer. The FAI said they're shocked and disappointed by SIPTU, who claim that the association's finances are in a precarious situation. The trade union has sought a meeting with Minister for Sport Shane Ross to discuss their concerns over the association's finances. But the FAI say SIPTU's claims are unfounded. Meanwhile, FAI President Donal Conway says they've held discussions with UEFA and say European football's governing body has assured the FAI of its full support throughout its current processes. Former Waterford United director Paul Cook was today appointed to the subcommittee overseeing the current investigations into the FAI. Cook is expected to be confirmed as the new honorary treasurer of the association at July's AGM. On the pitch cross-channel tonight, Leeds United take a 1-0 advantage into the second leg of their championship playoff semi-final against Derby at Elland Road. Aston Villa await the winners in the Wembley decider. Well, Chris Hughton might not be out of work for long. West Brom plan to meet with a former Brighton boss next week about spearheading their championship promotion push next season. The Baggies lost to Aston Villa in their playoff semi-final last night and have been without a permanent manager since sacking Darren Moore back in March of this year. Bohemians goalkeeper James Talbot has been named as the SSE Airtricity League Player of the Month for April. The former Sunderland stopper kept six clean sheets last month as Bohs kept pace with the Premier Division title challengers. On the school's front, there was defeat today for Mulroy College of Milford as they lost out in the FAI School's first year B Girls National Cup decider at Whitehall in Dublin. New Ross CBS from Wexford were the winners as they beat the Donegal Girls by 2-0 in that final. The latest round of games in the Donegal Youth League will be played tonight. The joint leaders are both at home. Swilly Rovers take on Innie Celtic, while Letterkenny Rovers play Gwydor United. In the other three games at 7 o'clock, Drumkeen take on Fannad, Lagan Harps host Caju, and Milford will play host to Erin Wanderers. On the golf front, Shane Lowry feels his game is in a good place ahead of tackling his second major of the year, the PGA Championship, which gets underway tomorrow. The Abu Dhabi Championship winner missed the cut at the Masters last month and will be out alongside Eric Van Rooyen and Tommy Fleetwood for the opening two rounds in New York. With the golf calendar changing this season, Lowry says it's unusual to play majors in such quick succession.
Obviously we're up here in New York, we're quite far north this time of year. I think it feels, personally for me, it feels like it's come around very quick. Obviously we played the Masters not too long ago, so this feels like it's come around, and it's hard to believe that the US Open is less than a month away, or nearly, you know, it's just a month away, and then the Open is so close as well, so it's very much on top of you this year, the schedule.
In cricket, Ireland could end a disappointing Tri-Nations series with a win against Bangladesh in Clontarf. A knock of 130 from opener Paul Sterling, allied with a 94 from captain William Porterfield, helped the host reach 292 for 8 from their overs. A short time ago in response, the visitors were 206 for the loss of 2 off 30 overs, and then that means they need 87 runs from 120 balls for victory. Bangladesh have already guaranteed a meeting with the West Indies in Friday's final. In rugby, Ulster's hopes of reaching the Pro 14 final have been boosted by the return of Jacob Stockdale and Lewis Luddick for a Friday's semi-final against Glasgow. Ireland wing Stockdale sustained a hamstring injury last month against Edinburgh, when a knee injury has kept Luddick sidelined since the end of March. It is Wednesday, and as always, at 8:30, we have our GAA programme each and every week. And tonight, Tom Cumac will be joined by Eamon Burns of Derry and John Lynch of Tyrone as they reflect on last Sunday's preliminary round meeting of Tyrone and Derry at Hayley Park, which Tyrone won and progressed. And they'll also run the route over this weekend's doubleheader in Ulster. Cavan and Monaghan and Down and Armagh are set to lock horns as they battle it out for a place in the semi-finals of the Ulster Senior Football Championship. Plus, Michael McManaman will also be in the programme. He's from the Neve Padraic GAA Club, and they'll be talking about their new club development, which was launched on a Monday past. That's the GAA programme tonight here in Highland. Throws in at 8:30. I'll be back tomorrow morning. Michaela.
Thanks, Oisin. And returning to some news, Donegal County Council officials say they will try to speed up the tarmacking of the back lanes at Sleaf Snacked and Oatfield Terrace in Letterkenny, in line with promises made by the previous town council. Councillor Jerry McMonagall secured unanimous support at a meeting this afternoon after pointing out that the promise was part of a wider deal which saw land handed over to the council for the construction of housing. Officials warned the project is not on the current three-year plan, but Councillor McMonagall says with resurfacing work set to take place on the circular road after a major contract, this is the perfect time to do the work.
We have an opportunity, say, with the circular road and the resurfacing of that there, that there will be machinery, men and obviously tarmac available, and I'm asking the council now to, whilst they said they would endeavour to get it done, they make it a priority for them to do it whenever the circular road is being resurfaced.
There are calls to phase out hospital car parking charges. Over €60,000 a day is collected by hospitals and parking revenue, according to new figures from the HSE. In 2017, €100,000 was collected at Letterkenny University Hospital. The data obtained through a parliamentary question shows €22.4 million was received by hospitals around the country in the same year. Sinn Féin's health spokesperson Louise O'Reilly explains.
Well, you're talking about phasing it out. So it's not €22 million initially. But at the moment, you know, and I can't emphasise this enough, at the moment, the Irish Cancer Society are saying that this has been subsidised by sick people. So I don't think that that's right either. I think we need to look at the possibility of phasing them out. The money is not huge in terms of the health service budget, but it absolutely is huge in terms of cancer patients.
The Taoiseach says he would welcome an Oireachtas investigation into the National Broadband Plan. Leo Varadkar has been defending the National Broadband Plan in the Dáil after more criticism from the opposition. He's been accused of publishing the plan for political ends 2 weeks out from an election. Leo Varadkar wants the opposition to keep an open mind on backing the plan.
All I'm asking that you do, and your party does, and the other parties as well, is not to rush to a conclusion on this, to keep open the possibility that you might be willing to support this, having answered your questions, having asked your questions, having heard the answers, and having considered whether the alternatives being put forward really are deliverable ones or not. And I repeat that request to the opposition here today.
Detectives at Strand Road in Derry, investigating a number of burglaries at the homes of older people on Monday, have made a fresh appeal for witnesses and information. Police received a number of reports on Monday afternoon of burglaries in the Woodside Road area of Kaleeter, on Wood End Road in Strabane, and in the Fifin Road area of Victoria Bridge. Gardaí in Donegal are also investigating possible links with other similar burglaries which happened in Inishowen on the same day. Sean O'Regan has more.
In a statement, Detective Sergeant Donnell said that they believe these burglaries are linked and that a black BMW 1 Series may have been used during these crimes. They're appealing to witnesses with dashcam footage who were in and around Woodside Road and Fifin Road, Castledurg, between noon and 12:30 on Monday, in and around Wood End Road, Ballymacorrie, between 10:30 and 3:30, or in the Victoria Road areas of Maher Mason from 11 to 2:30, also on Monday. Meanwhile, two properties were targeted in Muff and Fawn between 6:30 on Monday afternoon with a sum of money and jewellery taken. Gardaí and Donegal have also expressed an interest in the movements of a black 1 Series BMW. Anyone with information is being asked to either contact Buncrana Garda Station or call detectives at Strand Road on the non-emergency number 101.
For weather now, dry for the rest of today with some spells of hazy sunshine and light to moderate southeast breezes. Tonight will be dry with a mix of cloud and clear spells and lowest temperatures of 6 to 8 degrees and light southeast or variable breezes. And just to have a look at the closing headlines, Gardaí are continuing to appeal for information in relation to missing 26-year-old Cian Langeland. They say they are becoming increasingly concerned for his welfare. Cian was last seen on Friday last, May the 10th, leaving his residence in the town carrying a backpack. Meanwhile, the sister of missing Derry man Aidan Baldrick has issued an emotional plea for information regarding his whereabouts. It comes as there have been confirmed sightings in Letterkenny of the missing 33-year-old. The Mica Action Group says while a significant milestone has been reached in a redress scheme being announced by government yesterday, there is still work to do in order to keep pressure on the government to ensure the delivery of the scheme to all affected homeowners. And Donegal County Council is considering a 50 km per hour speed limit in the vicinity of Termin National School. The issue was raised by Councillor John O'Donnell, who told Letterkenny Municipal District today that speeding is a major issue in the vicinity of the school. And that's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening.
The obituary notices for this Wednesday evening, the 15th of May. The death has taken place of Kathleen Munsey Ambrose, 18, Lennon Grove, Rimelton. Removal from Eternal Light Chapel of Rest, Mountaintop, Letterkenny, tomorrow evening at 5 o'clock, going to her late residence. Requiem Mass on Friday morning at 11 in St Mary's Church, Rimelton, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The death has taken place of Kevin Bradshaw, 102 Myola Drive, Shantallow, Derry. Funeral from his home on Saturday morning at 9:30 for 10 o'clock, Requiem Mass in Our Lady of Lourdes Church, Steelstown, with interment afterwards in the city cemetery. Family flowers only, please, donations in lieu of flowers if desired, to the Friends of Altagalvin, Ward 40, care of W.J. O'Brien and Son Funeral Director, or any family member. The death has taken place of John Deveney, 9 Mulvey House, Strabane, and formerly of Limavady. Removal from Quigley's funeral home, Strabane, tomorrow evening at 6:30 to St Mary's Church, Melmount. Requiem Mass on Friday afternoon at 2 o'clock, with interment afterwards in Strabane Cemetery. The death has taken place of Mary McGrorty, St Finian's Park, Moville. Her remains are reposing at her home. Funeral from there on Saturday afternoon at 1:30 for 2 o'clock Requiem Mass in St Pius X Church, Moville, followed by burial in Ballybrack Cemetery. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. The death has taken place of Margaret Hegarty, Shrove, Greencastle. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral from there on Friday morning at 10:15 for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Ballybrack, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. The death has taken place of Mary Shields, Glen, Carrigart. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral from there on Friday morning to the Church of St John the Baptist for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery.
Family Flowers only pleased donations in lieu of desired to the intensive care unit, Letterkenny University Hospital, care of any family member. The death has taken place of Molly McGettigan, Glashabeg, Clohan. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral mass on a Friday morning at 11 in St Joseph's Church, Letterbrick, with burial afterwards in Kiltivogue Cemetery. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. to 11 a.m. The death has taken place of Paula McEnany, née McDermott, 25 Oakland Park, Strabane. Her remains are reposing at her home. Funeral from there on Friday morning at 25 past 9 for Requiem Mass in the Church of the Immaculate Conception, Strabane, at 10 o'clock. Interment afterwards in Strabane Cemetery. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. The death has occurred of John Hannah, Drumroosk, Donegal Town. His remains will repose at his late residence until 10 o'clock tonight and again tomorrow from 1 p.m. to 10 p.m. Removal from there on Friday morning to St Mary's Church, Killymard, for 11 o'clock funeral mass with burial afterwards in Clare Cemetery. Family Flowers only, please, donations in lieu, if desired, to the Royal Victoria Ioneer Research Clinic, Dublin. House private, please, on the morning of the funeral. The death has taken place of Mrs. Bertha Vance, the Cross Carrigans. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral from there on Friday afternoon at 1:30 for service in Monrare Presbyterian Church at 2 o'clock, with burial afterwards in the family plot in the adjoining churchyard. Family Flowers only, please, donations in lieu if desired to Monrare Presbyterian Church, care of any family member, or Gibson Funeral Directors. And the death has taken place of Lizzie Cole, Dewish, Newton Cunningham. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. Removal from there tomorrow afternoon at 1:30 for funeral service in Newton Cunningham Presbyterian Church at 2 o'clock, followed by burial in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 10 a.m. Family Flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to Letterkenny University Hospital Patients Comfort Fund, care of Charlie McLafferty, Funeral Director.